Thanks, Lisa. Is my math right? That song is 45 years old. Wow, what a legacy. Okay, so because I know some of you are always insecure, last Sunday I was at Unity on the North Shore in Evanston, Illinois, just north of Chicago, and had a good time, had a wonderful workshop with 22 people, and even though Chicago has a lot of vegan restaurants, I don't want to live where it's still cold in May. I nearly froze to death. It was cold and rainy. Then I went to Madison, Wisconsin, which was the last shot of spring for me. They had tulips and blooming trees. It was wonderful. So I'm starting a new series today. If you're new, the point is I'm not going anywhere. And this church is still better than any other. Okay? And every time I speak somewhere else, I feel I need to say that. But as Abby said, I am starting a new series today. And it's about something I've never talked about before, at least not in this way. You've heard me say over and over, you are the creator of your experience. Your thoughts create your life. It's one of Unity's basic teachings. But I want to spend 3 weeks talking about how to do it, to break down what's going on in our thoughts and how to direct them to create what you want. So I'll start with a story that some of you know. Are you familiar with the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill? It's an old book, and it came about in an interesting way, starting in the early 1900s. Napoleon Hill was a young newspaper reporter, and he got an interview with Andrew Carnegie, who at that time was the richest man in the world. Well, they hit it off and talked for hours beyond the interview. And of course, Napoleon Hill was asking Carnegie, what made you so successful? And Carnegie offered him a deal. Carnegie said he believed all the wealthy people were doing something similar. They were using a formula that he would love to pass on to the common man. So he said to Napoleon Hill, I will introduce you to the most successful and wealthy people in the country if you will report and write a book about their commonalities, the principles they're all using to create results. Carnegie told Napoleon Hill, I expect this will take you 20 years, and I'm not going to pay you. I want you to trust the rewards that will come from knowing this information and applying it in your own life. Are you interested in doing this? And Carnegie stopped talking. But under the desk, he clicked a stopwatch to time Napoleon Hill's answer. It took Napoleon Hill 33 seconds to say yes to this new life's work. Because if he'd taken longer than a minute, Carnegie was planning to just withdraw the offer. Because if he didn't say yes quickly, he wasn't congruent with the idea. Even if he had come back the next day and said yes, he wasn't a match to it, and Carnegie believed he would fail. The ability to make a quick decision is evidence that your self-image is in alignment with the opportunity you're being presented. It ended up taking Napoleon Hill 25 years to do the research with 500 of the wealthiest people. Think and Grow Rich was first published in 1937. By then, he'd interviewed Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, 3 sitting presidents, Rockefeller, Woolworth, Charles Schwab, and many others who built America. Meantime, he passed on what he was learning to some ordinary people and included their successes in the book. And it turns out, as you know, their thinking made them rich. What they had in common was the way they used their minds. And that is a knowable, reproducible formula, whether you want to be rich or healthy or happy. It can be broken down into 6 mental faculties, and that's what these 3 weeks are about. If you've taken a Prosperity Plus class, you heard Mary Morrissey mention the 6 mental faculties, but it was a pretty quick hit. So I want to go into a little more depth. Because the most common reaction I get when I talk about spiritual principles is, yeah, that sounds good, but how? How do I create my own experience? How do I manifest what I want in my life? By using your 6 mental faculties. We've been taught to value our 5 physical senses: see, taste, touch, smell, hear, how to be in the physical world. But most of us don't know anything about the 6 types of thought that are working all the time to create our lives, whether we know it or not. And they are imagination and intuition, memory and will, perception and reason. These 6 mental faculties give you access to the stream of genius that guides the universe, to the love and intelligence and creativity that are the building blocks of everything we experience. So today we'll start with imagination and intuition. And by the way, I know this is not specifically a Mother's Day talk, but probably no one uses imagination and intuition more than a mother, a stepmother, an aunt, a teacher, a coach, every nurturer. And we're starting with imagination because it is the architect of your future. It's how you design your world. And it's already at work. It has been all your life. Your personal universe today is the result of your imagination. Most of us were probably better at imagination when we were children. It was easy to believe we were Spider-Man, or a ballerina, or a fireman, or a doctor. I was remembering my imaginative play in childhood and remembered one little girl. We were playing doctor, and you know, to a child, what a doctor does is give shots. And she wanted to give me a shot by pushing a thumbtack into my arm. And yes, it hurt. And I can't imagine how dirty it was. My mother was horrified, so I never did that again. My brother and I used to play farmer, which involved putting doll clothes in a wash tub and harvesting a lot of weeds in the backyard. Later on, we produced plays for my Barbie theater. Childhood was full of imagination. We love kids' imaginations. We encourage them. That's how they play and learn and work out issues. So to reignite your imagination, you might have to kick your adult self out of the room, the part of you that is just bogged down in reality. Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. Because knowledge is limited to what we know and understand currently, imagination embraces the whole world now and everything that ever will be. The solution to all our problems is in the realm of imagination. Imagination is the ability to put on possible futures, to wear them, try them out, and then settle on what you want to bring into being. Imagination is the foundation of creating your life because everything is created twice. This pulpit, any pulpit, started as an idea, probably when someone needed to put notes or open a Bible when they were speaking. They needed something to hold it. This particular pulpit was created for this church. Someone had the idea to use this wood and to create the metal leaf work on the front, which I've always loved. And that illustrates the 2 kinds of imagination. Creative imagination is when you come up with the idea for something entirely new. It's invention. This is when you're truly connected to the source of all ideas and information. Synthetic imagination is when you rearrange what already exists in a new way. So by the time this pulpit was made, the idea of pulpits was old, even though this one is one of a kind. This was a new way to create something that was invented long ago. The cell phone is synthetic imagination, no matter how brilliant Steve Jobs was. The cell phone is just a different version of a device to talk over long distances. It's an iteration of the telephone. The creative imagination was that there could be a way for people to talk over distances. So you see the difference? The stealth bomber is just a newer version of the Wright brothers' creative imagination. You could call it divine inspiration. Most of what we do uses synthetic imagination, painting this wall red, redecorating your house, imagining the features you want in a new car. And it's very important to use imagination to improve on what already exists. But also be aware, you can tap into direct communication with divine intelligence. Creative imagination is when you download entirely new ideas. Maybe songs or poems or artwork, maybe inventions. Maybe an idea for your life and where it could go that you never thought of before. Something so unlikely you never would have thought of it based on what you know. It's the difference in looking at the files stored on your computer, what you have put into the hard drive, versus linking to the internet with its answers to any question you could possibly ask. I tried to look up for you just how much information is on the internet. I was very quickly in over my head. I did read that it's 50 times more than it was 10 years ago, and it's measured in zettabytes. A zettabyte is 1 million billion bytes of data, roughly equivalent to 50 million libraries of Congress. We passed the first zettabyte maybe in 2012. So if you can't get your mind around that, imagine what is available to you from the infinite source. Our little imaginations are puny by comparison, which means nothing you can think up is impossible. And as spiritual law works, no one thing is any harder than another. There's no degree of difficulty in spirit. That's why one person can create a big house, while another creates a small business, while another creates a family. We create with our thoughts in beautifully individualized detail, starting with imagination. The substance of the universe is really just sitting around waiting for you to focus your attention on something. Then it goes to work to create it. So where is your attention? What are you imagining? You can call the universe into action for anything you want with no limits. You wouldn't get the idea if it weren't possible. I imagine that divine ideas are being sprinkled on us like seeds, to see whether they land on fertile soil. And if you don't act on one, somebody else will. And sometimes you just know. And that's intuition. How many of you have ever known something? You knew it, you didn't act on it, and then you regretted it. Yeah, that's intuition. We all have it. It is non-linear thinking. It is to know beyond knowing. And it speaks to us in many ways. Hunches, gut feelings, the still small voice, an inner knowing. Sometimes we think of it as angels or even communication with the dead, but that's all under the umbrella of intuition. It's knowing things you cannot know with the five physical senses and probably can't prove. We've been trained to pay more attention to the five senses. We want logic based on what we've been taught and what's happened in the past. But there is a pure intelligence system guiding you if you pay attention. It is the source of your genius. This is where you're truly connected to the realm of infinite consciousness or awareness. There are not 7 billion minds in the world. There may be 7 billion brains in 7 billion people, but there's only one mind. You are part of it. And you have access to the rest of it. Prayer may be when you talk to God. Intuition is when God talks to you and answers your questions. Anytime you ask a question about your life, about what to do, about how to deal with people, the search engines go to work to find the answer. But the answers will probably come quietly. Might be a hunch, might be a sudden idea while you're in the shower or driving. Might be something you hear from another person. You'll recognize it because it seems electric. It's not something you could have thought up by yourself. Intuition feels different from ordinary thinking. You can think of this source of intuition as your subconscious mind, again, not just part of your brain. Your subconscious is in you and all around you. It contains everything you've put in it and everything else. The problem with the subconscious is that it doesn't know when you're serious or when you're kidding or when you're thinking about what you don't want. It goes to work on whatever you put in it. It's like a garden. The earth can't say, no, no, don't plant that seed. You don't really want that. Our thoughts are seeds being planted in creative substance. And again, your subconscious is like the internet. You ask a question, it goes searching for the answer. Intuition's just another way to describe that. Ask your intuition a question. Listen for an idea you want to pursue, and then pay attention to what shows up. Because you'll start to see signs and signals and synchronicities. You've tapped into the intelligence of the universe, that part of you that is always connected and is open to bring you whatever you need. So invite intuition to speak to you more often. Practice with it. Practice sensing what's in the mail. Notice who you're thinking about and see whether they get in touch. Call, email, text. That happens all the time, right? You pick up the phone and say, I was just thinking about you. I was going to call you today. There's so much more to be informed about and guided by than most of us allow ourselves. You can begin to recognize the voice of intuition like you know the voice of a friend or your spouse on the phone, even without caller ID. People who can say, hey, it's me, and you know exactly who it is. Intuition's like any relationship. The more you interact, the closer you get. So practice getting closer to your intuition every day. In simple ways, just take a moment here and there to ask questions. Should I take 35 or Mopac? See if you get a nudge. Imagination and intuition have a lot in common. Both connect you to the infinite. Both are sources of ideas or divine inspiration. You just have to hold on to the idea, pay attention to it, take it seriously, and then the molecules of the universe will actually begin to rearrange themselves to take the form you need, the form you are holding in your thoughts. I picture imagination bubbling up from inside, and intuition flowing through as a divine stream. But you might see something entirely different. Imagination is always in pictures. We think in pictures. If I say, think about your car, you don't see the word C-A-R. You get a mental picture of your car. So spend time imagining in pictures, deliberately envisioning the life you want. Intuition will show up in pictures, too. You'll suddenly see yourself doing the right thing in a situation. You'll know how to handle it. You'll see what you want for the future. So for meditation today, in a minute, we're going to practice using imagination and intuition to create the life you want. The best life imaginable. It doesn't matter how it could come about. Just focus on what. And if you don't know, listen especially closely to intuition for ideas. The very fact you are thinking about these things means they are already possible. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. Close your eyes. Relax, take a deep breath. And remember, as you imagine, that you can have anything you want. Anything that comes to mind is already available. No matter your perception of time or money or education, no matter what has happened in the past. Using imagination and intuition, picture the life you want to live. Let's say it's a year from now, May 8th, 2017. Where are you? What are you wearing? What's the weather like where you are? What is the dream you see yourself accomplishing? Is it something you're doing or the way you feel? Your outer life might not have changed much in a year. Your inner life could be completely different. More peace, more confidence, a deeper feeling of connection. What can you imagine? What do you sense or intuit might be possible? What is trying to emerge in your life? And if you have a picture now, are you willing to ask for divine help in creating this dream? You already have it. The universe has already gone to work on your thoughts, like a seed just planted in a garden. You can change your dream, of course, by changing your thoughts. Wherever your attention lies, that's where the most work is being done for you. So picture what you want and hold it in mind. Stay focused on what is possible. It's already beginning to happen. Just because you thought of it. Go forth this week tuned into your intuition and noticing how you use your imagination. What are you picturing for yourself? We're grateful to be aware of this magnificent power, a gift that has been given to us for our human experience. Grateful to know our connection with Source in all things. Grateful to be co-creators with God. We are grateful. And so it is. Amen.
Hallelujah.